Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 through 21. Colossians chapter 3, 14 through 21. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beginning verse 14, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged."
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning. So thankful for the opportunity to come and to worship God together with you. Brother Seth, if you could put the screen up, that would be great. This morning, we're going to be talking about Christ's authority and the family. And I know that sometimes when we bring forth lessons such concerning the family, there's always a group that say, well, what about me? One of the difficulties of being a gospel preacher is bringing lessons that everyone can benefit from. Yet in this particular case, I believe all can benefit from it. When we consider the authority of Christ, we have been communicating this all month. As a matter of fact, for the last few months. And we've been talking about for the month of December when the authority of Christ is denied. This morning, as we consider the family and we think about the three institutions that God created, he created the family first, and then he created government or policy, and then he created the church. When we consider the family, we're talking about how God created the man, and when he put him to sleep, brought forth the woman. Genesis 2, verses 21 through the end of the chapter. When the woman was brought forth from the man, he saw the woman and he said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she came forth from the man." And so we see that God created the family, and he put that family in the garden. But also God created government. He created policy. He created law. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, we see something very clear when God said that, "I will no longer strive with man." The word strive there is the idea of law. The idea of opposing man with a system, begging man with a system, a moral system, by which all men must live by. But then God had in mind before the foundation of the world, and when Christ died upon the cross, he had the church in mind. He had us in mind. He had the church of Christ in mind. And so when we consider these things and we think about the authority of Christ, and we consider the rule that he has, we can't help but to thank God for what he has done for us by giving us a moral leader in the person of Jesus Christ to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us, and ultimately to save us. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 that was read in our hearing, I want to use this as a platform in which to teach on this morning. And the reason why is because when I considered the family is under the authority of Christ. As a matter of fact, every family is under the authority of Christ. Unfortunately, all families don't submit to the authority of Christ. Jesus Christ was given all authority by the Father. We know this because of what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Jesus rules by way of righteousness. Jesus will never rule by way of unrighteousness. He's a righteous ruler. He's a righteous judge. He's a righteous savior. He's a righteous lawgiver. What does this mean? As Brother Brian was saying so eloquently in the message concerning the Lord's Supper, he did that for our good. When Jesus rules, it's for our good. The family, when they submit their will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has given him all authority, it is for their good. The family, when they submit to the authority of Christ, they submit in two ways, according to Colossians 3, verse 17. That's in word and in deed. That covers everything. And the reason why is because we are our words and we are our actions. Everyone. And so even when we consider the family of God, the church of our Lord, the church of Christ, they must do the same. Why? Because the church of our Lord consists of human beings, consists of families, consists of family units coming together as the people of God. And of course, this family has something to look forward to, and that is a hope. And so when we consider the authority of Christ, what does it mean to the family? It means those very things that we just spoke of. That God desires for us to listen to his son. But why? Because God wants what's good for us. Because God wants to give us an eternal hope and has given that to us. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through verse number 17, we notice that the family unit, when they are Christians, Christ followers, they are the elect of God. On three occasions, we find in the scriptures that individuals were called Christians. Acts 11 and verse 26, Acts 26, 28, and 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Nothing else, not hyphenated Christians or any other terminology or identity. Here we understand that the elect of God, those who are chosen, those who have been baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, are part of the family of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But the nuclear family, the family that God created in the beginning, the one that Satan is attacking left and right, backwards and forwards, even today. When we consider this, we have to think about us as the family of God. God's family, our personal families. Look at verse 12 and 13. When we consider the family, therefore, as the elect of God, the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We think about the family, our personal families, and how we're supposed to submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. What better way to submit to Jesus Christ by putting on tender mercies? Oh, if the family would put these things on and they bring this to our assembly or to our gatherings, our events, what type of events would we have? What type of people would we be? If we were to submit to the authority of Christ, this is exactly what we would do. We would be putting on tender mercies and kindness and humility. The very things that is a struggle for those who are outside of Christ or those who are not submitting to the law of Christ. We consider this and we think about the family from a principal perspective. It is the home, and the home should be making up of Christians. We as the people of God have submitted ourselves to a moral system, a moral behavior that is above those who do not submit to it. And for this cause, we understand that God desires for us to put on perfection, maturity, if you will. We will have more to say about that here in a few minutes. But I want to put that on your mind, because when we think about the people of God as families, it requires us maturing, growing up, if you will. For this reason, this is why adults should be those who are getting married. This is why adults are those who should be doing marital things. Why is that? Because when we think about the family, it requires a growing up, a maturing. Even in the Lord's church, we have the responsibility of growing up as the family of God. Ephesians 4:11 through verse number 14. But what holds the family together? When you look at verse number 15, or 14 rather, but above all these things, put on love. The New King James renders says that it is the bond of perfection. It is the bond that holds things together. If we can say it this way, it's the super glue. Love is what holds people together, the family together. When you find a family beginning to unravel, it is because the love has unraveled. Their love for God, their love for His Word, the love for the leadership of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we consider our families, it requires us understanding that we bring love to the church. We bring love to the assembly. We bring love to one another. But look at verses 15 through 17. Here we see the Christian home should be people who promote forgiveness. I'm sorry, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. As I was considering this and thinking about this even more, and you think about, what does God love? Listen to this, friends. God loves a thankful person. We know this when Jesus was talking to that individual that he cleansed, the leper. And remember what he said? Were there not 10, where are the 9? If you want to do yourself a favor as a young family, teach your children early to be thankful, to learn thanksgiving, and that the proper response to a good deed done toward them is thank you. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, one church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And be, I like the King James render says, be ye thankful. You know, the husband and the wife can render thanksgiving unto one another, and the children ought to be able to see that. Honey, thank you for cooking dinner today. Thank you for making the bed. Thank you for washing my clothes. You know, thank you for filling up my car. I didn't have to do that today. You know, just thank you for being a spiritual leader. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then the children, they see that. They see that you're thankful for your spouse. And then when they come to the assembly, they see individuals offering up worship unto the Father and thankful for the blood of Christ and thankful for the leading of Christ and His Word and thankful for good leadership and thankful, not entitled, not that you owe me, not because that's your job, but thank you. Perhaps you lost your spouse and your spouse was a good spouse. Thank God that you had a good spouse. Thank God that you had a good spouse. Perhaps you're going to lose your spouse. And look at the life that you've had. If it's been a godly life, an upright life, a Christ-like life, a family life, thank God what you had. I told one brother when he lost his wife a long time ago when I was in Abilene, I said, you've done your job. Our responsibility as husband and wives is to help our spouses to get to glory, to get to heaven as much as humanly possible. Thankful. Be thankful. Here we see something very, very interesting. And let the peace of God, notice, rule. The word there is umpire. When one allows peace to rule in their hearts, Philippians 4, verses 4 to verse number 8, friends, they can't help but to be thankful. When a person is chaotic in their mind or disruptive in their mind or not thankful to Jehovah for what He has done, then they're not thankful for the good that's done toward them. here, the Lord's church, the people of God, even the family, our personal families, must learn thanksgiving. We must be a thankful people. Why? Because thanksgiving demonstrates dependence upon one greater than self. No wonder 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Shouldn't we be thankful for everything? The Bible says everything. Brother Mike, what about the horrible things that happened to me in my life? Be thankful for them. I see why God wants us to be thankful. It keeps us from losing our eternal minds. It keeps us grounded. It keeps us depending on the one who sent his son to die for us. This must be shown. This must be demonstrated. And if you will, turn to Philippians 4. Look at verses 4 through 8. We just mentioned it as a reference. Now I want us to read it. When we consider thankfulness and being thankful and maintaining a thankful attitude, notice what it is coupled with. Rejoice in the Lord whenever you feel like it. Is that what your Bible says? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. He's at hand. Notice, anxiety is connected to thankfulness. Be anxious for nothing. Hold on. Paul, are you serious about this? Paul, you don't live in the 21st century. You don't know what we deal with. You don't understand the heartaches that we have. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice what is coupled with, friends, thanksgiving. Friends, this is just as doctrinal as talking about the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Why? Because if I'm not rejoicing, I'm not thankful. If I'm not giving thanks in all things, I'm not rejoicing. And if I'm not rejoicing, then I'm not maintaining a thankful attitude toward Jehovah. And so he tells them that they need to be thankful. A family, the heads of the home, the husbands, the fathers, we have a responsibility to make sure that we're teaching our children, whatever you go through, learn to rejoice. And to demonstrate to them that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Oh, one can be happy and not joyous. And one can be joyous and not happy. And just because I don't have a smile on my face doesn't mean I'm not joyous. At times in life, I'm going through a difficult time. You're going through a difficult time. Satan is beating you up left and right, and you just can't seem to get a grip. However, you're joyous because you know that if I continue to move forward, continue to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, I'll even get over this. I'll get over this. I'll get over this trial, this trouble. And notice what he says here. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Notice how? Through Christ Jesus. And then notice what he tells us to do. And this is what we ought to be teaching our families. Grandparents, teach your grandchildren that. They need to see it in your life. Husbands, wives, work together. Your children need to see that you're rejoicing, even in the midst of difficult times, even when in the midst of a nation that's crumbling right before us. We, as the people of God, as the Lord's church, as the church of Christ, as families, we need to hang in together. And so, we understand, going back to Colossians chapter 3, that we need to be thinking on some things. I see why people are so disturbed, because their minds are not on spiritual things. They're not on heavenly things. Just can't seem to get over that rut, if you will. Think on different things. The prescription is in the scriptures. It's in the Bible. It's designed to encourage us. And families, when they submit to the authority of Christ, can't help but to say, I know this is a difficult time, but I'm thankful at least we're going in the right direction. And the right direction is glory. But what are those things that threaten Thanksgiving? If you look at your notes, letter D, Notice those things that threaten Thanksgiving. Please listen. Please see this. Please consider. Why? Because you may be one that fits these categories. Anger, anxiety, and attitudes of discontentment. I'm just not happy. I'm not happy with what I have. I want what everyone else has. And then you're anxious. And then you're angry. But the Bible demonstrates to us that anger resides in the bosom of fools. And so we got to watch that anger. We have to watch that anxiety. And we have to make sure that we understand that these things are a threat to being thankful. What else? Backtalk. When your children backtalk you, they're actually showing a sign of discontentment. When you backtalk your spouse, whether the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband, you're showing discontentment. You're showing that you're really not happy. But the Bible demonstrates to us that husbands ought not to demonstrate bitterness toward their wives. And when we're bitter toward Jesus and bitter toward God or bitter toward our circumstance in life, it causes us not to be thankful and we lash out at one another. Yea, even the brethren, the family, when we submit ourselves to the authority of Christ, we have to keep in mind, remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 37. He said that the things that are right unto you, these are the commandments of the Lord. The very fact that Paul is saying these things as an apostle of Jesus Christ. In the family, we need not be bitter toward our spouses. We need not backtalk one another. We need not betray one another. Why? Because when we do this, we're actually telling Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, I really don't want to listen to you right now because I'm in my feelings. Brethren, what threatens thankfulness? The things that we just spoke about. And so what does God want us to do? He wants us to make sure that we don't have these things. If you notice in your notes, notice what I put on the number 3. Let me show you what threatens thankfulness. Young families, listen, please. When you leave your children unattended, when you don't pay attention to your children, it will put you in a position where you don't want to be around even your own kids. And then you'll send them to school and wonder why your teacher don't want to be around them. What else? A lack of parental involvement and instruction. One of the hardest things you'll do as a parent is parent. Grandparents, we ought to be helping our children. Encouraging them. You hang in there. I know you're not getting much sleep. You hang in there. I know they're back talking. You hang in there. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. It may take them for a couple hours. You hang in there. I just need you to get your spiritual and your emotional breath. Get your feet underneath you. I know it's difficult sometimes. One of the most difficult things to do is to rear children. Therefore, have many of them. Just keep having them. It gets better the older you get. I'm serious. The older you get, the better you get at it. Those first couple, they're guinea pigs. I'm sorry. They are. You don't know what you're doing. But don't have this attitude. Well, children don't come with a handbook. You probably said that. Why would God, Psalm 127 verses 1 and following, give you the fruit of the womb and not give you a handbook? Gave you a handbook. One thing I used to do when my kids was little, we used to buy them bicycles and stuff. And of course, being mechanically minded, I'm like, baby, I don't need those instructions. Throw them things away. I'm putting them bikes together and put them bikes together. And got this bag full of nuts and bolts and stuff. You're like, You know, I should have used the directions, the handbook. Don't do children that way. Don't wing it. Don't look at the box. Read the instructions in the box. Because if you don't, you're going to threaten your thankfulness. And what that causes, number four, it causes one to fail to repent, to redirect, and to restore. Thankfulness, being thankful. Look at chapter 3, look at verse 16. We're in the text, the family. But Brother Mike, this is talking about the church, but the family. You know, you ought to be practicing things at home. They ought to be able to see these things at home. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Guess what the Bible there is implying? Reading the word of God, studying the word of God, allowing the word of God to be in your heart, which requires you putting your eyes on the word and sweating and reading and thinking and meditating. It requires sacrifice. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We love to use this passage for singing, and rightfully so, we should. However, there's more to it, because God's word is a living word. We ought to be using the Bible, the word of God, and we ought to be teaching one another, instructing one another, helping one another, and allowing God's word to dwell in our hearts richly. You want to see your family change and really submit to the authority of Christ? Spend time in the word of God and allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. And then you can't help but sing when people come to worship and they don't sing. That's because Christ's word is not dwelling in them richly. Sometimes we have other things dwelling in us richly. You fill in the blank. But we ought to have God's word, the word of Christ, which is a parallel passage to Ephesians 5:18, being filled with the Spirit. So people want this miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit in their heart. That's not what Paul is talking about. He tells us what being filled with the Spirit is allowing Christ's word to dwell in you richly. It's not by osmosis. It's not going to happen by you just coming one time a week. It's not going to happen you coming on Sunday and Wednesday only. You got to spend some time in the word of God. And your family, y'all have to have reading and singing and spending time with one another within the word of God. The family must do this. I remember on many occasions when we would go on trips, and the Lord blessed us with many trips to go preach in different places, and we'll be in the car just singing. When was the last time y'all did that? Took your family on a trip and y'all were just singing hymns. Oh, every now and then, well, some secular song, and my wife want to listen to Adele. Wear me out. She clean, but it just wore me out. Anyway, they sing that and they love that too. Nothing wrong with that either. Right, Chad? Just go like that. That's right. But we sing those spiritual songs, encouraging one another, and you can't help but to want to sing when you go to worship. And then we don't make excuses saying, well, God doesn't want to hear me because I don't sound good. He wants to hear your heart. That's what he wants to hear. But I want us to consider verse 17. Because when we consider verse 17, we consider Christ and his authority. And when it's denied, friends, Christ has all authority. He's the one that we're listening to. If you look at your notes, there are three things I want us to consider. And I'll let you out here in a few minutes. Three eyes that tear up the family. They tear up the home. If you notice, immaturity in our behavior, it tears up the home. One of the things that you must do as a young family, and those of us who are older teaching the younger, we ought to be telling them, grow up fast. Hurry up and grow up. Because the more on the immature side you're on, the more foolish decisions you make. And the selfish attitudes you carry. And it's about me. Immaturity tears up the home. Immorality breaks up the harmony because it causes despair. We don't want to be immoral in our marriages. We don't want to be immoral as children. We don't want our children to see immorality in our lives, because immorality in your life can lead to unfaithfulness in your children's lives. Inconsistency. It tears up the home when we're parenting. Grandparents and parents must be on the same page. And I've seen it before where you have parents, they have these standards, and the grandparents have another standard. And now you want the child to want to go and stay with their grandparents because they get what they want. No, if the standard is not the word of God from both sides, then a decision has to be made. And so these three I's, they tear up the home. They tear up the family. Three P's. Three P's develop doubt in the home. Poisonous philosophies of men. Humanism. When absolute truth is not really taught and illustrated and lived out in the home. You can't have the attitude, well, I know the Bible says, but there is absolute truth in this postmodern world that we live in. I have a truth and you have one. No, there's one truth. One thing that you have to tell your children and show your children, God's word is the final authority in the home. God has the final say. And it's all right, even when mom and dad don't get it right, to tell the children, I didn't get that right, I'm sorry. God says, do it this way. We did it this way. We told God we're sorry. We're telling you too. Why? Because Christ has all authority. The Father doesn't have the final say in the home. God does. Y'all will get that when you get home. Because sometimes the daddy, he grows a big chest sometime, and his authority is even over God's. But Christ's authority, that's what we're looking for. Parental abdication. What is that? It's when the children run the house. Friends, the man is the head of the home. The wife is to be submissive to her husband. When we're under Christ's authority, then we do it that way. We have many, even in the church now, for some reason, they want to relinquish their authority to something else, to someone else, to the television, to the radio, to Facebook, Instagram, you name it. They want to give it over to someone else when God gave you that authority. We see that even in the garden. We see that the man listened to the woman listened to the serpent didn't listen to anyone. We have to make sure that we stay in our realm where we belong, to have the mentality and the attitude of Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Permissiveness in parenting. Oh, I wish I had time for this one. Eli's sons. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old your children get. If you love them, you need to correct them. If you love them, you need to encourage them. If you love them, you got to admonish them. Every now and then, you even have to tell your grown children, you need to get back to the authority of Christ. You need to love Christ. You need to do that. Why? You got these little ones watching you. But David, a man after God's own heart when he was younger. However, when he got older, something went awry. Something went wrong. And even though he was doing that which was right, the fruit of his labor is seen in his children. Absalom wanted to kill him and take his throne. Amnon raped his own sister, David's daughter. Absalom killed Amnon because of what he did to his sister. Adonijah attempted to take the sonship from Solomon, the kingship from Solomon. We have all of these issues from a great man of God, which demonstrates to me that you can do things right, but if you don't do things right at home, you already messed up. As I close, one preacher said this, Mike, you got them five kids at home. Don't you go around saving the world and lose your home. You know, you can chase business. You can chase all types of money. But if you don't rear those kids, if you don't take care of that wife, how successful are you? The authority is still in Christ. So what does the church owe the world? What do we owe them? What do we owe the family? Grandparents, you owe the family, leadership, being patriarchs, matriarchs to a certain degree. And what I mean by that is making sure that you're the mother, the grandmother that you need to be, the grandfather you need to be, and instill spiritual values, moral principles, good work ethic, because you're going to need all of that in Christ. Because if you don't, the three D's are going to destroy the family, and it don't take time. a deviation from the law, disinterest in which leads to divorce, drinking and drugs. These things, they just kill the home. And so, the family. I'll tell you, the family. You take care of God's business, he'll take care of your family. What does the family owe the church? What does the church owe the world? Look at verses 18 through the end of the chapter. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting. Notice the location in the Lord. The wife has a duty. When the wife is submitting to Christ, Ephesians 5, verse 21 and 22, rather, they show the world that there is a system that does work. I tell ladies, sisters all the time, the hardest job you'll ever do, besides rearing children, is being a wife, because of submission. Because sometimes that joke is not worthy of submitting to, but you do it as to the Lord. Wow. Some men make it very hard to submit. Let it not be so among us. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives. The word love there is to welcome them, to embrace them. And Paul would say in Ephesians 5, to nurture and cherish, to warm, to caress your wife. The authority of Christ. It was Brother Robert Taylor who said in the 90s, old gospel preacher, he said something that was very interesting. This is in the 90s. He said, there's a time coming where you'll find marriages, and he used that in an accommodative sense, where there will be no bride and there'll be no groom. We're there. When men and men want to, and women and women want to, in both of those cases, there's either no bride or no groom. The church is always the bride of Christ. Always. Jesus is the groom. Jesus will never have a groom on the other side, because he don't do that. You know what we ought to be showing the world? That it's all right to submit to Christ's authority and do it his way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? This is right. If a child really wants to be well pleasing, obey your parents. There's three things we see there. We see that the Lord is pleased. We see that your life can be long upon the earth because of good decision and discernment. And you see that your parents are happy when you do what they say. Christ's authority. When we deny that authority, we actually rob the world of the wisdom of God and how they can see how God operates even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Maybe you're not a child of God and you're not really rearing your children, your family in the right way. Let's go ahead and stop right now. Let's make up our minds to begin education, spiritual education. Let's begin going in the right direction. And let's get our families on track. Perhaps you need to be in the family of God, the Lord's church, the church of Christ. You do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his family. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Perhaps you are a child of God and, well, you haven't been really spending time with your family. You've been doing all manners, whatever. And it might not even be sinful. You're just spending too much time with it and not enough time with your family. Well, if you're not educating them, then who is? If you're not influencing your children, who are? If your wife is not being encouraged and enhanced by you as a husband, then who's doing it for you? Friends, these are not options. This is under the authority of Christ. And as grandparents, we have the same responsibility. Why? Because God wants our children's children to see that example, and we owe it to them. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.